You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We're reflecting on the commodity space. It's been quite a volatile year for commodities counters and commodity stocks. Commodity prices have been everywhere, left, right, center, up and down. And we're going to take a look at that and see what it means for next year and what it potentially means for how we close out this year. I'm joined on the line by commodity specialist and portfolio manager at Anchor Capital, Seleho Tsatsi, to take a look at the commodity space. Seleho, good evening. Lovely to catch up with you as always. Let's start with a reflection of the commodity space throughout the year. I mean, various commodities moving at various times throughout the year. But overall, what are your thoughts around the commodities market?
Hi, Jimmy. Great to be with you. It has been such a, bifurcated year for the commodity space in the sense that some parts of the market have done extremely well. If you look at things like base metals, in particular, alumina, if you look at parts of the market like PGMs, they've done incredibly poorly. Iron ore has done incredibly poorly. And then you have other parts of the market that have just been so-so. So really, depending on where you were exposed during the year, you could have had very different returns.
So now, what were some of the lagging commodities in your view throughout the year? And what were some of the ones that really stood out as the shining stars of the year?
Probably the biggest lagger, and certainly one of the most important commodities to the JSE, was iron ore. A large amount of the diversified miners get probably 40-50% plus of their profits from iron ore. And that was down 25% in dollar terms this year, or at least year to date. And really, that's a China story, as we know, particularly a Chinese real estate story. So as we know, Chinese real estate has really been under pressure. Even some of the more recent data that we've gotten has continued to show prices under pressure in China, transaction volumes under pressure in China for housing. And so that has really weighed on iron ore. In terms of some of the big winners, really probably one of the ones that stands out the most just in terms of absolute performance would have to be alumina. It's a commodity that doesn't get a lot of attention because it's quite a niche commodity. Really, the company with the most exposure to it is South32. Alumina is up about 120% this year or year to date in dollar terms. So it's you know, done way better than even things like gold, which probably has gotten a lot more airtime in terms of attention. And really with alumina, it's a story around supply. We do expect that to ease in 2025, but I think that's caught the market by surprise. And then, of course, in terms of the JSE, gold has had a fantastic year. We've seen that with the performance of the gold mining shares. So gold in dollars is up about 31% year to date. And the top two performing major resource shares on the JSE this year are Harmony and AngloGold, which makes sense given that gold performance.
Speaking of the top performers throughout the year, Seleho, I want to take a look at some of the transactions that came through or some of the conversations that were starting to emerge. I mean, we got a conversation from BHP expressing interest in acquiring Anglo, or at least parts of Anglo, I suppose. What did you make of the transaction activity from an M&A perspective in the commodity space?
Yeah, so I think earlier on in the year, we saw a lot of interest kind of speculation around green metals. So largely base metals, but not just base metals, but base metals along the lines of copper, nickel, zinc. These are metals that are seen as being very important to the world's transition to a greener economy. And then we've also seen, some M&A in terms of consolidation. So obviously at the tail end of last year, we saw within the PGM space, Northam, Implat, and Orbiplat had that love triangle, which was resolved. And I think the biggest thing that we're seeing is the diversifieds are really looking to consolidate the market. Even if you look at Glencore, they spoke about potentially acquiring the assets from Teck Resources in Canada. Initially, they wanted to buy the whole business. Then they ended up buying just the metallurgical coal part of that business. But I think what we're seeing is that the large diversified companies are continuing to consolidate. And then you're seeing this theme of the green metal space play out.
When we look at that green metal space, what does that look like from your perspective going into the new year? I mean, obviously, you've alluded to metals like copper being of great interest to mining companies and potentially to manufacturers as well. What other metals are you kind of seeing in that green space, if that is to continue playing out as a trend going into next year?
So I think an interesting one has been nickel, and it's interesting for a few reasons. If you look at Anglo-American's plan, they want to kind of divest several of their assets. So they want to get rid of their metallurgical coal business, their PGM business, which is Amplats. They want to get rid of De Beers, and then they also want to get rid of nickel. And the reason for that is we've seen an oversupply in the nickel market, mostly because of an excess of supply coming out of Indonesia. So nickel hasn't had a good 2024. It's down 5% in dollars this year. But what's interesting is that it is still needed within the green metal space. And you do see the likes of Glencore continuing to flag it as something that they, as a commodity that they are they believe can do decently over the long term. So I think that'll be an interesting one to watch. Outside of that, I think PGMs are always very interesting, just given their importance to South Africa as a country. It's been a tough year in 2024 in the PGM space for a variety of reasons, but basically prices, mostly palladium and rhodium, are down significantly. And it'll be interesting to see this kind of fight between the increase in the penetration of battery electric vehicles, which is at around 12% today globally, with this decline in supply from the PGM miners in terms of actual metals produced. So that'll be an interesting space to watch as well.
Mm. So Leho, what about the risks going into 2025? I mean, off the top of my head, I'm thinking about the demand side risks that you mentioned around China earlier. But sticking with China, they announced recently some export bans on some precious metals going to the US. The trade war looks very much to be back on the cards. What are you seeing as some of the risks to the commodity space going into next year? And are there kind of factors that we, obviously some of them we might not even know of at this point, but are there factors that might have you a little more cautious around certain commodities?
Yes, as you said, China is definitely the big elephant in the room when it comes to commodity demand and commodity markets in general. China accounts for over half of demand for several important commodities like iron ore. So the state of the Chinese economy next year will be vital to watch. It was interesting. We got more signs of potential stimulus coming out of China over the last week or so. And when that initially came out, you saw the Chinese stock market react very well. And then that sort of pulled back as people are getting hesitant again about whether that's actually going to come through. So really, I would say 2025 Chinese GDP is going to be massively important. I'd say politically, we are obviously in a very sensitive geopolitical environment, and the potential for sanctions on metals or other commodities could have a very big impact on commodities going forward. Earlier this year, we saw palladium skyrocket about 20% when there were reports that the U.S. was considering sanctions on palladium metal. That ended up not happening. And obviously, we've got a new U.S. administration or presidency coming in early next year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there in terms of potential new sanctions on any metals. So politically, there's a lot to look out for next year, and also in terms of Chinese growth.
Mm. So Leho, do you think or do you see activity picking up on the deal side of things? I mean, we know that the likes of BHP could potentially come back to the table for Anglo once again after that mandatory period has lapsed to make bids. But around the world, we're seeing mining companies diversify geographical locations and the like. Do you see M&A activity picking up going into next year?
I think it's a theme that will continue going into next year, Jimmy. Yes, I do think that will happen. As you mentioned, Anglo-American this year had a lot of activity and interest around it. First, we had the BHP bid, but there were murmurs of other parties being interested. If you look at the major resource companies listed on the JSE, Anglo-American was the third best performer after Harmony and Anglo Gold, which is interesting given that It was quite a poor year for the actual underlying commodities that Anglo is exposed to. And I think that really just speaks to the, I would say, the bid premium or the deal premium that is now in Anglo's share price. At the end of November, the six-month waiting period that BHP had to wait for before they could come in with a new bid, that period ended. So as of today, BHP can come in with another bid. General consensus is that they are likely to do so. I think the question is perhaps more around timing. So we know that Anglo, by the end of 2025, wants to look dramatically different. As I said before, it wants to divest of four of its major businesses, and that'll leave it with iron ore and copper, essentially, along with a small fertilizer or agri business. So I think Anglo is definitely a stock to watch in 2025. But speaking more broadly, yes, I do think there's going to be continued consolidation, particularly in commodities that the major diversified see as difficult to start greenfield projects in. So the likes of copper, we've seen the BHP management team talk about how, you know, it's quite difficult to just start a copper project from the ground up. And so buying rather than building seems more likely.
Certainly going to be an interesting time for the commodity space going into the new year, but we'll have to wait until that new year comes around to see how it shapes up. For now, we will take whatever wins we can. It looks as though things like the gold price might be ending the year on a high, but it is still too soon to tell because the year isn't over. But thank you so much, Siloho, for the time and for the insights. Siloho Tsatsi, Portfolio Manager at Anchor Capital, on the commodities space throughout 2024 and what 2025 could look like.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.